Welcome to Side Hustle City, and thanks for joining us. Our goal is to help you connect to real people who found success turning their side hustle into a main hustle. And we hope you can too. I'm Adam Kaler. I'm joined by Kyle Stevie, my co-host. Let's get started. All right. Well, welcome back, folks, to the Side Hustle City podcast. The trusty co-host, Kyle Stevie's busy with his kids, but I got a special guest today, Brandon McAfee. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Pressure Enterprises. That's his organization. A lot of you guys, if you follow the Facebook page, you know, and past episodes of the Side Hustle podcast, I got a new car. I turned around and put it on Turo just to try to show people that there's money to be made there, and it's a legitimate side hustle. Well, Brandon was actually one of the people that rented out my car. And we got to talking, and Brandon does some important stuff out in the community, especially when it comes to credit. Tell them a little bit about what you do, Brandon.
Okay, so basically what I do is I teach people about financial literacy, right? I teach people the things that they didn't learn in school. We all talk about certain things that we didn't learn in school, and credit is one of them. I feel like if people knew about credit and banking and different things like that, that's in the financial literacy sector, a lot more people be in a better position. So basically that's what I do, is I try to teach people that and how they can actually leverage their credit to build financial wealth for their families.
So Brandon, I know a little bit about Bond Hill. I had some friends that lived in Bond Hill. I had some friends that live in Avondale, and they didn't like each other because where they lived, it's right next door to each other. And tell them a little bit about where you came from. Like, I don't think people understand, like, you know, especially if they're not from Cincinnati, you know, every city's got its problem neighborhoods, but Avondale, Bond Hill, man, there's been some problems there for years.
Yeah, definitely. Well, like I said, it's always troubling when you come up in a certain neighborhood. Like we was talking before, you don't have you don't have people around you that you would want around you to be able to make you a better person. It's a lot of crime in those areas. It's infested with crime. It's to the point where it's kind of like, when you're in school, you either going to, a lot of people that's in those type of schools feel like they're going to either die early or they're going to be in prison, right? Because that's all that you see. You see a bunch of violence. You don't see nobody talking about positivity. You really don't see that many people graduating. If they do graduate, they barely graduate. Is this really not a really a positive area to be in, you know? So that's just pretty much what it is, man. It's just a bunch of violence that's there, and it's kind of hard to come out that.
So even though, and we talked a little bit about the internet before the show, and we were talking about all these resources that are out here on the internet, but in your day-to-day life, if you're worried about walking off your front porch and getting shot, either by somebody that don't like you just because of where you stay, or because you stray bullet or whatever, your number one priority in life is not necessarily like, what am I going to do 5 years from now? It's what am I going to do tomorrow? Am I going to be here tomorrow? Right. And I think a lot of people in America, they struggle with that mindset. It's so hard to believe that there are actually communities out here where people feel like that.
Yep.
But it's facts.
Definitely. It's definitely facts.
Yeah. How do you overcome that? I mean, coming from that environment, how do you overcome that mindset? What motivated you in particular to start looking at better options?
To simplify it, I would say trials and tribulations, right? I had to bump my head a whole lot of times to really figure out this is not the life I want. My oldest brother, he's in prison for the rest of his life. His out date is no date. He has no date. He's going to be in prison until he dies. So me seeing that, seeing other family members going in and out of jail, seeing people dying early at an early age, and then me getting locked up myself when I was 18, I figured out, I'm like, this is not the life that I want to live. But I just still didn't know at that point, like, okay, this is not the life I want to live, but what do I want in life, right? Because we all have trouble about, you know, trying to figure out who we are and what we want to do in life. So, you know, it took me a while, to be honest. It took me to about 21 years old to be like, you know what, all the getting in trouble and stuff is over with. Let me try to go on a straight and narrow. And then that's when I started a cleaning business when I was 21, because I tried to start doing something different and I was YouTubing it and I felt like it was the easiest and cheapest thing to do. So I started off with that. That's when I changed full 360.
This is interesting. A buddy of mine, Josh Hogan, him and his brother grew up a lot like we did. We were in Price Hill. They were in Westwood on McHenry. Also not a good place to be growing up, right? Mm-hmm. But Josh actually did the same thing. Started a cleaning business. Mm-hmm. The hardest part about that cleaning business is finding good help, though, I think.
Exactly. That's what I ran into. Exactly.
Yeah, and especially right now, I mean, God, trying to get people to work. Like anything, because everybody wants to be on that unemployment right now.
Yeah. People want the easy way out, right? That's why I tell people when it comes to entrepreneurship, you know, I don't teach people when I teach people financial literacy and how to leverage credit. I don't teach people that for them to be entrepreneur. I teach them that for them to have resources, because, you know, most people like it easy. They want to go to work because when you go to work, you know what type of check you're going to get. Us as entrepreneurs, we have to go get our check. Right. So it's like, if you don't, depending on how your system is set up, you're either going to know how much you're going to make that day or that month or that year, or you don't. It can stagnate.
Yeah. And people are not good with inconsistency like that in their lives. They want to know, look, I got a $600 a month car payment. Mm-hmm. I got an $800 a month mortgage. I got this daycare I got to pay for. You know, I got these things, so I need to make this much money and I need to know it's coming in. And yep. I think the longer you go in life, the more responsibilities you pick up and the harder it is to do a side hustle.
Mm-hmm.
Or mentally, it's hard. Yep. I mean, maybe it's not as bad as people think, but mm-hmm. in their mind, they're like, oh man, there's no way I could do it. I got these kids. I got this. I got that. Mm-hmm. But when are you going to do it? Like, when are you going to do it? Because being an entrepreneur is really taking control of your own life.
Yeah, definitely. And we're supposed to take control of our own lives, but it starts from when you're young, right? You go to school, you're getting told what to do. You're being taught certain things that you're being told to be taught, you know, and it happens all the way till you get older. Then you go get a job. They tell you how much you're worth. They tell you how much you can get capped out at. They tell you how much hours you're going to do. They tell you when you do overtime. Most of the time, people are so used to being told what to do, they have a hard time when it comes to them, you know, figuring out what to do themselves, right? A lot of people can't operate on their own. They need somebody else to help them operate. So I feel like, you know, it does all come down to the mindset.
I think they need help from someone else to a certain point to kind of mm-hmm. get them over that hump, mm-hmm. make them confident that they can actually do it on their own. And then once they got that confidence, it's all, you know, gravy from there, really. Like they can take the ball and they can run with it. But it's almost mm-hmm. like certain people need a lot more handholding than other people, I think.
Yeah.
And you've probably run into that.
Yeah. Yeah. I run into that all the time. It's, you know, we have what you call go-getters, and we have, you know, people who want to make excuses, right? You know, I feel like you only can make excuses to a certain amount of time, because, you know, even from us coming from our neighborhoods, right? We didn't make that excuse like, oh, I came from this bad neighborhood. I didn't have this. I didn't have that. Just forget about life, right? We decided to still make something of ourselves. We didn't let those excuses hold us to a certain level, to the point where it kept us stagnant in life. And I think that's where people just basically differentiate at.
And there's a point of no return sometimes, I think. And, you know, in bad neighborhoods, the neighborhood, you will end up with some drama somehow.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Just by
definitely.
Being there. Like, even if you're trying not to be around drama, somehow it will find you.
Mm-hmm. And that's the hardest part that I had. Just 2 years ago is when I finally cut off probably one of the last people that I used to be with back in the day, right? Because I understood it don't matter how smart you feel like you are, how driven you feel like you are. If you keep negative energy around you, negative things are going to happen. It don't matter how long you knew that friend for, how many things y'all did with each other. When you're trying to elevate, you have to get rid of that. Why? And it don't mean it's love lost with the old friend. It just means, look, hey, we're on two different pages. I'm going here. You're staying here. It's time for us to separate. Maybe we'll meet later down the line. You know, stuff like that. That's how I look at that.
But you got to take care of your own house before you can help anybody else out. And I think this is the problem people get into. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of people who are very empathetic, right? And they want to help other people, right? But if you're not good, Mm-hmm. How are you going to help somebody else? I mean, maybe with words, with encouragement, mm-hmm. but now that's taking time away from you.
Yep.
Getting on your grind and doing what you're supposed to do. Right.
Definitely.
And I think it's tough because even in my position where I'm at now, you know, financially, you know, stability wise, I still feel like there's a lot of stuff that I don't have time to help other people with.
Right.
You know, and right. I, you know, I hope that by bringing people like you on the show mm-hmm. and putting this out there in the world, that this message is going to resonate with people exactly. and they're going to say, oh man, Adam comes from Price Hill. Brandon mm-hmm. comes from Bond Hill. Like mm-hmm. these are bad places. Like they somehow were able to get out of this situation and it's a mental prison. Those neighborhoods yeah. are a mental prison for people. And there's people listening to this show right now that they know what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And they know that the neighborhood will tie you in and stuff will happen to you that keep you from being able to move ahead with your yep. life.
Yeah. And what you just said, how those places are, I tell people like this, I say, you don't have to be in prison to be in prison. So that kind of co-inspires with what you just said. If somebody else has control of your mind, or I would just say, if you don't have control of your mind, you are in prison. Right. Because if you don't have control of your mind, you might watch TV, you might listen to the radio, and whatever they say, if it's negative, it's going to control how you feel at that point, because you don't have control of your own mind. You don't have control of your own thoughts. So that's very important. That's where it starts. And I tell people, you know, credit and all this other stuff is secondary. Your mindset is first, because if you don't get your mindset together, all the other stuff will never happen for you, because you have to believe in what you want to get before you even get it.
Well, and look where you stay in a better neighborhood now, and you could be in the suburbs mm-hmm. in a nice neighborhood on a nice dead end street, cul-de-sac, whatever. And that could be your prison.
Yep. You're right.
Television could be your prison. The internet, whatever it is you're messing around looking at on the internet, that could be your yeah. prison, but you're yeah. spending time on something. Mm-hmm. And people, oh, I don't got time for a side hustle. I don't got time for this. It's like, oh, but you got time for that Cowboys game yesterday.
Yeah, you got time. I seen a post that said, you know how they say Facebook is free. They say Instagram is free. They say TikTok is free. But really, none of that stuff is free. It's taking your time. Time is the most precious thing ever. I tell people before you get anything, from the cars to the houses, the jewelry, whatever that you like, the first asset that you have is time, you know? And that's the most important one. And a lot of times, like you said, people, they make so many excuses to the point where they waste so much time because they feel like we have forever, right? The only thing that we know for sure is that we all have a due date. We don't know when our due date is when we're going to, you know, transcend out this world. But we have a due date. But a lot of times people don't operate in life like we do.
Yeah, it's like you got all the time in the world. Like after high school, you're like, you know what? I'm not going to go to college because, you know, I've been done. I'm done with school, right? Yep. I'll go in 3 or 4 years. Well, that 3 or 4 years turns into 8 years.
Yep.
Turns into 16 years.
Yep.
You know, and it's just like, if you got to keep the ball rolling. And I feel like it doesn't have to happen overnight. And we were talking a little bit before about all these social media, TikTok celebrities, all this stuff, these people fake rich, you know,
yep.
You know, videotaping themselves in front of a car, mm-hmm. whatever. Like yep. those people, you know, you think that's real and you yeah. think you got to get that overnight. Oh, I got yeah. over it. You know, I made $50 million in 5 years once I started doing this by my program. Right.
Yeah.
But that's not always real. And it's okay to get rich slow,
mm-hmm.
but, and you don't even have to necessarily be rich. Just don't be poor.
Exactly. That's the main thing.
Like, just don't be poor. And what would you say to like a young person, like young Brandon right now mm-hmm. in Avondale, Bond Hill, whatever, maybe in the 9th, 10th grade, thinking about like, what am I going to do for my future? What would you say to that person?
Honestly, what I would say to a younger me, I would say, you know, just try to stay focused, right? It's hard to tell a young person don't have friends, right? I can't tell a young person that. All I can say is, you know, have a mind of your own. It's important to have a mind of your own, because I feel like that whole thing about mindset, it starts off in school, right? I'll just tell you a brief story before I get back into that. You know, I remember in school, do you remember the Iversons? They look like they used to like forces, all white Iversons.
Oh yeah.
I had purchased those back in school, but then it wasn't a popular shoe. I went to school and I got they was everybody capped on me because I had those shoes on. Right. So at that point, it kind of taught me like, oh, I can't wear what I want to wear. I got to wear what's considered as cool. And, you know, that happens in school. So that's why I said, I would tell a younger me like, hey, I always have your own opinion on something. And I always think for yourself, because you can't let how other people feel determine how you feel about your own stuff. Right. So that's what I would say to a younger person. I would tell them to stay driven and do what it is that they want to do in life, no matter what people say.
It's always that quiet kid, you know, it's always that quiet kid who's like, you know, doesn't necessarily have to fit in, doesn't have to be in the group with the popular people. It's that kid that you look back and you're like, man, I never thought like that dude would have been the one who made it out and did it and like was successful. Mm-hmm. But you know, when you think of something, you go that far back, you're like, man, you worked all them hours just to buy a pair of J's, or you did. Exactly. For what though? Like, no, for who?
I call it instant gratification, right? Everybody wants instant gratification. Like from where I'm from, people can have $100 in their pocket, but their outfit is $1,000, right? It may have took them 2 weeks. They get paid biweekly. It took them 2 weeks to make $1,000. You want to go spend it on an outfit so you can go to the club, impress the ladies. Now you have $100 in your pocket. You look rich. It's called a perception. That's the same thing with the internet. You look a certain way so people draw towards you, but that's not really what it is. You can't feel good inside knowing that what you're doing is flawed, really.
Well, and you know what the funny thing is when you get older, I think the kids don't understand is like, you look back on them ramen noodles you were eating and be like, man, remember when we used to just eat ramen? But like, if you would have told some kid in school back in the day, like, all we got to eat is ramen, they'd be like, oh, you broke, you poor, right?
Yeah.
But like, it's that stuff. It's the struggles that you look back on favorably.
Mm-hmm.
You don't look back on it like you're ashamed of it anymore.
I still eat ramen noodles. I got ramen noodles in the cabinet right now.
My wife gets mad at me. She's like, why you always make ghetto food? I'm like, that's all I know how to make.
Right.
Beanie weenies and like cinnamon bread with the sugar in it. Like, she doesn't understand it. Hey, that stuff's good. But
you know what? That stuff, like, I that's why I don't take that whole process of all that stuff you had to go through back in the day. I don't take any of it back because I feel like it makes you way stronger, right? I asked myself before, like, what type of person would I have been if I had the type of family that just dropped money on me? They didn't teach me any game. They just dropped money on me and told me, go make it. Would I be as strong as I am today if I didn't go through the certain trials and tribulations that I went through? So a lot of people say, like, oh, I don't want to come from this. But sometimes when people come from certain things, it makes them stronger. Because you already know what it's like to not have nothing, right?
Well, you're right. You know,
yeah. So if something was to happen to a point where you lost everything, you had to build it back up, you're like, well, back to ramen noodles and beanie weenies for a couple months.
It wouldn't bother you, right?
Figure it out, right?
Some people would lose their mind. Like,
yeah.
And you know what the funny thing is? Sometimes I got to bite my tongue because I'm around some of these people that I feel like people don't know how good they got it. They act like they're victims. They act like they're out here struggling. Oh, it's so sad. Like, I live in America and this and that. I'm like, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this girl, for example, the other day, she's posting on, you know, why. I posted this thing like, man, kids don't understand how good they got it nowadays in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Like, I go down to this park on the river now. It's so nice. You know, there's so much stuff going on. I remember when I was a kid, people were for real poor, like, welfare didn't pay what it pays now. Right, you know what I mean? Like, you were getting $50 in stamps. You weren't getting $1,400 like some of these people are getting now. And I'm like, man, people were for real poor back in the day. Like, I remember over the Rhine before they fixed it up, you know, and what the West End used to look like and all that kind of stuff. And it's amazing, though, that every generation, like, they think they got it bad, but like the previous generation is like, nah, you didn't have it this bad. And, you know, my mom's generation, they had it worse than we did, you know? And I think it's all perspective. And sometimes when you hear people complaining, you just got to like bite your tongue because you want to tell them like, man, you don't even know what poverty looks like. Like, you know, and I almost think people need to just travel more. They need to go to places where there's still people struggling, like real struggles.
Yeah.
To understand that, like, it's not that bad. Like, you spend more time complaining, but if you put that time into, like, actually doing something for yourself or educating yourself on a topic, you'd be doing way better right now.
Yeah.
Like, if I went to South America right now in a poor country, in Venezuela, and I took some dude that's eating out of a dumpster right now, I brought him to America, that dude would probably be a millionaire in 5 years, 10 years.
Definitely.
Because he'd be like, oh my God, look at all this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but us, sometimes we just get, we get complacent.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what real suffering is like sometimes. And I think people need some perspective.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times what I hear people say, they say, it's like, I don't want to be rich. I don't want to be anything like that. I just want to be comfortable. So I asked, I'm like, what is comfortable? I'm like, you can be comfortable at your job. Right. But it's like, if you live in paycheck to paycheck, it's like, is that really the life that you want to live? Right. 9 times out of 10, it's not, because you get to watching people on Instagram like, oh, I want to ride jet skis. I want to drive the foreign cars. I want to do this. I want to do that. But when you look at the paycheck, it's like, you don't have it there. Is that all you want, is, you know, just to be comfortable? Isn't that, or what do people don't really know what they want, really? I think that's what it comes down.
They
to.
Don't. And I think people don't understand, like, wealth is not a number. Mm-hmm. Wealth is freedom.
Yep.
And when you reach a certain level, like, talk to any rich person, they'll be like, yeah, I got all the money in the world, but I'm still not happy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think too, I think one thing about, you know, growing up poor is we have real friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're poor, all you got is friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all you got is your people. Like, when you're rich, and this girl posted on my Facebook the other day, I was talking about how kids nowadays got it so lucky. She's like, well, you know, the kids in Cincinnati at these private schools are so mean to each other. They, you know, they put each other down and, you know, they try to hurt each other's feelings and stuff. And I'm like, damn, my mom gave my brother a pistol because some dude was going to jump him at school one day. You know, like, it's perspective, right? It's like, these people live in these, like, nice houses, and there's this competition at their school for who's got the nicest house, whose parents got the best job. Mm-hmm. I don't understand that, right? Because I never grew up around that, and I don't understand the social pressure around it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it kind of seems like a joke to me, knowing what I know from where I grew up, but I mean, everybody's got problems, man. Like, everybody's got something.
I think a lot of times, because you got to think about how hard, like, you know, it might sound a little funny starting off when I say it, but it's like, rich people, like, if you start off rich, right, it's going to be so hard for you to start off rich. And if you was to go poor, 9 times out of 10, most people don't know how to fathom that. They wouldn't even make it, because they're not going to be able to take going to work at Wendy's or going to do a job that they don't want to do, because they're going to be like, oh no, you know, what happened to mom's and dad's money? It's gone. You know, they wouldn't know how to handle that. But like I said, it's a blessing. I feel like it's a blessing and a curse to come from certain areas. But I feel like it's all about what you make it. We unfortunately made it to, you know, be a blessing instead of a curse, you know?
Well, yeah. And you can look back on it and say, man, I'm glad I didn't make that decision. Or, life is all decisions. It's a series of good decision making, mm-hmm. is what it is. If you continue to make good decisions, I feel, because one decision, when you come from a bad area, one decision will put you right back to zero.
Yep.
Like, you can't make a mistake. We don't come from a place where, oh, if you mess up and lose a bunch of money doing this one thing, your parents are going to help you out or whatever, because they got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you mess up, you're back to square one.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to my parents. I was at my parents' house the other day, and we just discussing the topic of generational curses, because a lot of people have different opinions when it comes to generational curses. Me, I feel like a generational curse is a generational curse because you have a generation of people who keep doing the same thing, right? Nobody's stepping outside the box and doing something different. When I look at my family members, I have nobody in my family that's wealthy. Nobody in my family is doing none of the things that I'm doing at this current moment. And I feel like, you know, it's a blessing to be that one out of my family that's able to, you know, build wealth for my family, you know, and not be scared and not feel like, you know, life is limited. You know, it's like I said, it always comes down to that mindset, man. If you don't have a strong mindset, if you don't really believe in yourself, it won't happen for you.
Well, and I think people use things like curses or our family or whatever as an excuse to make it okay for them to be a bum.
You know
what I'm saying? Like, exactly. Oh, I'm only a bum because we got this curse, right? Like, nah, bro, you're a bum because you dropped out in the seventh grade. Like, you was 18 years old in the seventh grade.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, man. Like, yeah, but I think you got people out there that they're looking for any reason to not do something.
Yeah, they are.
And it's unfortunate, but there's a personality type there, and there's not a whole lot you could do for that mindset. Like, you can't surround yourself with those kind of people, even though you want to help them. You see their struggle, you hear their excuses, and you might just want to help them because you're tired of hearing them complain.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But you know, they gotta really
want it. It's like I when I say I want it, I want it. Right. I get up every morning. I make sure I go get it. It becomes a want. Then it comes to something that I go get. A lot of people, they say, oh, I want this, I want that. But you're not willing to put in just a little bit of work to go get it. Everything requires work.
It does. It requires a lot of work. And I think, honestly, like, have you ever done your Myers-Briggs assessment? Have you ever done that? Your personality type?
No, I don't believe I have.
So it's really, really interesting. So there's 16 different personality types. And there's a website, 16personalities.com. So okay. 16personalities.com. And you can go on there and you can find your personality type. It's crazy how dead on it is. Mm. So mine is like the debater, because I like I like to debate. I like to question things, not to be a dick, mm-hmm. but to learn. Right. Like I have to learn. But also, we are also big idea people, but we're not implementers. And there's other personality types that are not big thinkers. Like, you know, you and I think you're probably something similar where you're probably always looking around, like, where's the next opportunity? Like, what is in a lot of side hustlers like this? Mm-hmm. Where's the next opportunity? How can I turn this, take this and turn it into this? Right. Well, there's some people out there that cannot come up with new ideas.
Yeah.
But they will sit down in front of a computer and work for 8 hours, 10 hours, 14 hours. Mm-hmm. On somebody else's idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you got to partner with those people, and I have to do that, right? And then there's also like my personality type needs haters. Mm-hmm. Like we have to have people to tell us we can't do something.
Yeah.
Like you tell me I can't do something. Oh boy, now you just took me from sitting on this idea, not doing anything about it, to now I'm definitely going to do something about it just because you told me I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how Definitely. You feel? I mean, like, is that how you do you feel like there's certain people that you've met similar to you at the wealth building conference you went to?
Mm-hmm.
Those type of people. How did you know, it's just a group of people that were able to get themselves out of that situation that they grew up in, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
I mean, do you see a lot of that kind of personality, or what have you noticed in people that don't make excuses?
It's the, I would call it the shiny object syndrome, right? That's what I used to have, and I figured out how to get out of that. What the shiny object syndrome is, just like you're watching YouTube, you're seeing videos, you meet a new friend, they talking about an idea. You're like, oh, I can make money. Like you're saying, I can make money from that. Let me switch to this. And you get to a point in time where you're switching from thing to thing, and you're not focusing in on that one thing. You have to be a master at one. So I tell people, instead of, you know, doing the shiny object stuff, you be a master at one. You utilize your capital. So you find buddies that's doing something that's in the industry that you want to do. Like my friend, he's in trucking. So next year I'm gonna give me some trucks, but I'm not gonna start a trucking business. I'm gonna invest into the trucks. He's gonna run everything, he's gonna hire the trucker, he's gonna do everything. You get what I'm saying? But I'm still focusing on financial literacy and credit. I don't have to, you know, do everything. I'm gonna do one thing. And I'm gonna make my money work for me, right? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to make our money work for us and not try to be all over the place.
I love that. So leverage other people's energy.
Mm-hmm.
So they may be afraid to take that step.
Mm-hmm.
You may have the idea, but be like, hey, look, this isn't something I need to spend all of my time on. And I realize it's gonna take a lot of time, but I know this guy over here who's got energy. And I know he could run this business, so why don't I go ahead and just hand that off? But I'm an investor.
Yep.
So you don't have to have all the money.
You don't. You don't have to have, and I tell people, you don't have to have any money. That's when credit comes into play. Like you can come from $0 and 0 cents. All you have to have is a 680 to a 720 credit score, 4 primary accounts. The accounts have to be over at least 2,000 on each account. You need to have a 3 to 4 years of credit history, and then you go get funded from the bank. That's when you use OPM. You use that OPM, which is credit, to go, you know, leverage that credit and buy assets that can pay for your liabilities. You know, I teach people how to get credit and actually use it for stuff that they can build wealth with. It's not to go get a $20,000, $30,000 limit and go, you know, Louis and Gucci shopping, right? it's to go actually build wealth. But I tell people, because a lot of times that stops people from doing what it is they want to do. Like, man, I don't have no money. I got the idea, but I don't have no money. So I tell people, you are the money. Just go fix your credit.
See, this is something we don't talk about enough. Debt is not necessarily bad. It's Every not. Super wealthy person is in debt.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
Donald Trump was in debt. He was in crazy debt.
You know,
he went bankrupt.
Yeah, he had a crazy story that I looked into, because I heard it was something that triggered me that I heard about Trump. They said Trump had 900 LLCs, right? Not one person can run 900 different businesses. I don't care how many different people. It's too much, right? But I figured out the game when it comes to that. And I figured out, like, it's a lot that goes into it, because when it comes to business credit is massive, right? I teach people about the business credit side. And, you know, business credit is good because if you have a Chase card, $30,000 card, you max that card out to make an investment, you're waiting on your ROI. You don't want that to mess up your personal credit, right? So I tell people, the point is to build up your personal credit, then start applying for business credit, and you can get as much business credit as you want with multiple LLCs. There's no limit or law against how many LLCs you can have. So you can get funding with one LLC, 60,000, another LLC, 60,000. You just have to have, that's why you think people buy age corporations, because lenders want to see that your business is over 2 years old, then you can get funding from it. Credit is unlimited. It's like, there's no way, if you have an idea, there's no way that you can get rich. But if you have a good credit score, you know how to leverage it. It's kind of impossible.
And people don't understand that a lot of times you don't have to come up with a fresh new brand new idea. You don't need to come up with a startup nobody else has ever done before. Mm-hmm. You could buy a trucking company.
Yeah.
You could. I mean, I got a buddy across the street from me. He works with HUD. Mm-hmm. He's flipping all the Winton Terrace units right now, going in and refinishing all the tubs. Okay. He's got three or four people to work for him on the side. He just bought two big old trucks on Craigslist for like $2,500 a piece. I'm talking like F-350, like big, like 15-foot beds on them. And he was like, man, if I would have known I was going to buy these, I would have went ahead and applied for that hauling RFP they had out. So now he's able to, like, he's using the city, right? The HUD or whatever. I guess it's federal. But he's using HUD. Now he realizes, oh, man, I'm out here finishing these tubs. I'm doing this. But they need to throw stuff away. They got carpet. They got all kinds of stuff. So now he's thinking about applying for that and then hiring some people to drive these trucks for him.
He has a hustling mentality. Everything is a hustle. No matter if you got your own business, you're working a job, it's everything is a hustle. It just all depends on what type of hustle that you want. You know,
and he flips cars on top of that. He's got, like, he goes online and somehow, I don't know how he finds these cars, but like he got a Mercedes, like a 2012, I think, Mercedes for like $2,000 the other day. One of the little SUVs. And I'm like, man, how'd you get that? And it looks nice. The body's in shape. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with it. And he flips them.
He may have somebody with a auction license or something like that. I know I got a buddy down the street. He has that. That's how they get the cars for cheap. That's pretty much still in good tack.
Oh, like a dealer license or something like that, where they can go to the auctions.
Yeah, that's how you get the cars for the cheap, is that when there's nothing wrong with it.
Well, you got a lot of knowledge around this, around the credit stuff. Tell me about Pressure Enterprises. Tell me about how that came about and what other organizations you've got.
That came about because, you know, coming from, you know, certain areas, you know, most people think they either going to play basketball, football, or rap, right? So the actual Pressure name came from my rap name. That's what I went by when I was rapping and stuff like that. Pressure Enterprises, I just actually established that like 2 years ago. And it all stimulated from, you know, my name. And I had so many different companies. So I'm like, you know, let me just go with Pressure Enterprises, because I knew I was going to have an umbrella of different companies up under Pressure Enterprises.
I love it. So what are the things that you do? So if I'm a customer, what do I get? What are the services that you offer?
Right now we're pretty much focusing on, you know, credit repair, credit restoration, like far as like inquiry removal services, trade lines. We offer people funding. Sometimes people don't know how to go get their own funding and actually leverage their credit. So we get people funding and stuff like that. We offer credit financial literacy classes. We have one of those Monday of next week. And that's pretty much what we're focusing on right now. You know, there's five different things that we're working on right now.
Wow, that's awesome. So what are some of the most common people that come to you? What are their problems? Like, what are their issues?
The issues is a lot of times a lot of people in 2021 are at the point where they feel like they want to, you know, change their life. I've been hearing a lot of that. People been saying, like, man, I've been watching certain videos. I've been watching your videos, somebody else's videos. And like, man, I'm just ready to just change my life. Somebody may have put, you know, some bills in their name when they was a kid, or, you know, they probably didn't know about credit and they was maxing out their cars, getting repos, you know, stuff like that. And they pretty much get to the point where they like, you know what, I want to change this around. And another thing is people, they probably went to different companies and they say like, oh yeah, this company didn't do what I needed them to do. You know, so they're pretty much frustrated when they come to you and want to see if you really know what you're talking about and know what you're doing as well. So,
yeah. Oh, I'm sure they do. Yeah. And it's hard to trust too, especially, I mean, if you had people when you were a kid putting stuff in your name,
right?
People exactly. You trust, right? Like a parent.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Definitely.
That's crazy. So, and a lot of these things, so a lot of these credit repair issues, mm-hmm. are these things that could easily be fixed and they just have never done it?
Yeah, it all comes down because when I first started this, I gave people the option of, you know, you can either have my company fix your credit or I can just teach you to fix it yourself. When I first started doing this, I was telling people, like, hey, I'll teach you the game for $100. The game is really free. It's about the time, right? The game is free. I talked to when I give it, it's me and you sat down and had lunch. I probably been and told you a million different things about credit. It's not about me sharing the knowledge. It's just about the time. But, you know, that's just pretty much what it comes down to.
Well, that's awesome. So talk about some of the success stories. Like, yeah, I'm sure there's some people out there that you've helped and maybe a situation that this person was in and then where they're at today.
Well, it's a crazy story. I don't know what's going on with him right now. But I had a client, he was in Chicago. One of his family members, he just got shot like 30 times. He just was released from jail. He got shot like 30 times. He was in a lot of gang activity. But he reached out to me. He's like, hey, Pressure Man, I seen one of your videos on Instagram and I'm so inspired with the stuff he was talking about. You know, he started following me and then I started, you know, calling him, trying to make sure he was on the right track. But he'd been to prison several times, he said, for like, you know, murder charges and, you know, stuff like that. And he beat a whole bunch of different cases. But he was to the point where he just wanted to change his life. And he seen me and I inspired him to want to do that. And he was to the point where he starting businesses. He started doing the right thing after he listened to me. And I feel like that was like one of the biggest success stories I feel like I could have for somebody to be able to not only learn credit. He started having a business. He started doing the things that he's supposed to do from that type of background. He came from with gang violence and beating those cases and stuff like that. To doing a whole 360 was amazing to me. That was better than me getting somebody a house, a car, anything like that. This man was in jail for, you know, multiple crimes, you know, and switched the whole thing around. So, you know, that was one of the biggest stories I can say.
That's a blessing to be able to have somebody to put information out there. It's always interesting to me, like who's going to find what you're trying to do. And I can tell you're passionate about this. This is something that you really want to help people with. And is the more you put yourself out there, the more those kind of people that are going to find you. Mm-hmm. But the crazy thing is like, you don't even know that's going to happen. Like, you're like, oh, I want to make my own life better. Mm-hmm. I want to start a company that's going to help these people. And, you know, God works in mysterious ways. And, you know, you, there's things that you don't even know that are going to culminate from this experience, this thing that you started to do. And when you started this, you probably never thought that a guy like this would come to you and you'd be able to change his life like that.
Yeah, I didn't. I never imagined. To be honest, I used to not even want to be on the internet, right? But I got to the point where I was like, you know what? I got to share this knowledge. It's too much knowledge for me to keep to myself. I wasn't keeping it to myself. I would share it with like family members and stuff like that. But I'm like, I need to put this information on the internet so it can hopefully find somebody and have them think like, hey, I can do this. Because my main objective is I want people to understand that they always have options. There's no such thing as limitations unless we put limitations on ourselves, and we can do anything we put our minds to.
The man you helped and these people that you're helping, they're going to go help somebody else.
Definitely. Yeah.
Those people are then going to help somebody else out. Mm-hmm. Right. This is how communities overcome struggles.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to have somebody in the community that still cares, that wants to go in there and help out that one person who's going to help out those three people, who's going to help out those nine people. Right.
Yep.
And that's just what has to happen.
It's I'm not going to speak about it too much because it's a new project. But this project that I came up with is going to be massive because in this industry, I've seen that. You know, when it comes to prisoners and homeless people, society just says forget them, right? It's a lot of times where you see somebody that, you know, may have went to prison and they might have been nothing bad. They just went to prison. They made a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes, right? The society is just like, oh, that's a bad person. They just shove them off, right? Same with homeless people. You see a homeless person, oh, he, you know, they just shove them off. So I have a program that I came up with. Everything's not finalized yet, but it's going to be a multi-million dollar program that's going to be helping out homeless people and prisoners. because it's basically an empty space that I seen that nobody was doing of a way that I can be able to help those people out, because they're pretty much forgotten.
Oh, wow. Is this like a mental health thing? Is this like an alcohol, like drug kind of thing? Is this?
It's a little bit of everything, but the main thing is being able to get those people the resources that they need to be able to help them succeed, right? Because like we were talking before, a lot of people don't have the mindset to be able to, you know, build their own wealth by themselves. Like I said, if you leverage certain things, meet the right people, you still can be in investments, like, right? So we have stuff now like Walmart automation stores, the Amazon stuff, the Facebook, you have a bunch of different things, even if you're not a person of business, but you can have somebody that can leverage credit or whatever, you can still be in those investments with no, your hands is off, right? And you're still able to build passive income for yourself. You don't have to have the mindset to do it. You don't have to have the funds to do it. It's just about, you know, being around the right people that can help you get to that part, the place in life that you want to be at.
I love it. So give us some tips, give us some tricks for somebody out there who, you know, maybe they think that credit's a bad thing. They think that debt is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. What are some things that you would tell people to kind of get them? Because, you know, we're raised to think that, right? We're, mm-hmm. Don't get no credit cards because, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. you're, you know, Dave Ramsey, right? Like, yeah. Dave Ramsey will tell you that.
I hear that all the time. And I told people, I'm like, you know, Dave Ramsey told people to, you know, rip their cards up. Then he went to go buy it was a crazy amount, like 60, 70 unit conglomerate building that, you know, he leveraged credit to get, right? Nobody's spending $20-50 million on hotels. They're going to get loans that they're not going to pay for. Their other children are not going to pay for. They're just building that passive income. They're not worried about paying off the mortgage on the hotel. They're worried about that passive income that is bringing to them and their family. That's all it's about. So it's a such thing as good debt and bad debt. Even with cars, right? How the thing that you did with your car, you turned a liability into an asset because you're renting your car out. It's a nice, wonderful car that people are going to rent out, and they're going to pay that note on it for you if it even had a note, or if it was paid off. But regardless, you're still going to be building passive income from that, right? So anytime that we can turn something to from a liability to an asset, is it making money for us? Even our homes, we got Airbnb. That's the best thing to do now. Short term rentals is the best thing you can ever do. The old way of real estate is out the window, right? Because you can go from making $300-400 a month cash flow from a property to making $300 a night.
That's right.
From building out a themed Airbnb.
Well, it's crazy. Like, assets, normal everyday things have now become assets. Mm-hmm. And I think what it is, it's allowing, like, only rich people knew about this stuff.
Yep.
30, 40 years ago.
Yep.
Only rich people were doing this stuff 30, 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. But what technology has done, it has allowed the common person, the average everyday person, mm-hmm. to now be a side hustler.
Exactly.
And to do something different for themselves. Like you said, I mean, you could rent, you got a little barn in the back of your house. You could go out to Home Depot, convert that into a little apartment. Yep. And rent that thing out for $300-400 a month.
My buddy in Norwood, we was just on FaceTime the other day. He has a three floor house out there. He rented out the top floor for Labor Day weekend for like $750
for the weekend. Right?
Wow. For the weekend. That's just the top. He's still in the house. So, but he gave them the top floor. He's still in the house, but his mortgage is already paid, but he just made $750 for letting somebody have the top part of his house.
Wow. And there's so many ways. Like, I tell people too, I'm like, look, 9-to-5 jobs are not going to be the thing in the future.
Oh no.
Assets, mm-hmm. you know, multiple streams of income. Everybody is going to be a side hustler. Everybody's mm-hmm. going to be a freelancer. Oh, you know how to.
That's how they said it was a long time ago. Everybody used to be bartering, like, hey, I got this. You know, it's about trading and stuff like that. I feel like, you know, I do feel like, you know, the whole 9-to-5 thing, it may go out the window. We have to learn how to do for self. Right. You know, one of my 3 or 4 year plans is I want to buy a couple acres of land that I can start, you know, I don't know if it's going to be in Ohio because, you know, how Ohio weather is pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah.
But I want to be able to, you know, grow my own foods and stuff like that. I want to be able to do all of the stuff that I want to do for myself. Right. And it requires certain things. So I want to get back to that because we're so, you know, we have too many convenience stores. Everything is too convenient these days. You know, you don't even have to go to the store no more. You can order your stuff. They'll bring it to your house. They'll put it in your refrigerator. They'll put it in your cabinets. You know, I don't, you know, that's, it's convenient, but no, I'd rather do it for myself.
I know. And these young people are complaining. They don't make enough money. And then next thing you know, they're paying $4.50 for a Starbucks, but then they're paying another $3 to have it delivered, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, well, there's where your money's going. You know,
everybody, I don't care where people work at. Right. I tell people we have to, because when you don't, you have to, it's people that makes like doctors, lawyers. I know doctors and lawyers that's living paycheck to paycheck. You'd be like, well, how are you making six figures plus a year and, you know, still living paycheck to paycheck? It's because people don't look at their expenses. We think, oh, we're making more money. Let's go get more bills. No, it should be, let's go get some more things. And now that we have the money to make us more money, right?
Exactly. They don't realize, like, you know, these school loans, they got $250,000 in school loans. They got, you know, they think they got to go out and live in this neighborhood all of a sudden because now they're a doctor. Mm-hmm. Shoot, I got a buddy. He's a doctor. His wife racked up a whole bunch of like credit card debt buying purses before he graduated. Because he was working at UC. He was doing his residency and he's making $11 an hour working at UC as a, you know, before he was an actual doctor. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as he became a doctor, now he's got to pay off all these purses that his wife bought. But, you know, it's crazy stuff like that. It's, you know, you've also got, you know, insurance. Like if you're a doctor, you got to carry all this extra insurance to protect yourself.
You understand
and
that you're getting taxed. It's all a game. I don't like to really use the word game because I don't feel like life is a game. But in certain ways, it kind of is when you think about it. When you're working at a job, you're getting taxed around 45%, right? So even if you're making all this money, you're not really making $100,000 a year. You're making whatever you're going to make after 45%. So this, if I'm the employer, I'm like, hey, I'm going to bring you in at on salary at $100,000 a year. You're not going to even get that. You may get about 60, 65, somewhere up 68 a year. So you know, like, you got to think about that. But people, they're not thinking about what they're really making. They're thinking about what their salary is. So they're living like that, right? Which causes a bad effect on them. And that's how you get to live in paycheck to paycheck.
Yep. The more money, more problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to just keep living like, you know, I'm in like a constant battle with myself on how cheap I can be. Mm-hmm. Like it's a competition, like how little bit of money I can spend on stuff, even though I could, you know, live pretty much wherever I want. I could, you know, buy whatever I want now, you know.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So usually when you make your purchases, do you use your credit card or do you use a debit card?
Oh, credit card for points.
Okay, good. Okay. I was just asking, reason being, because a lot of people, they still use their debit card. And I like to tell people, like, hey, you can get stuff for free. You just got to actually utilize your cards to be able to do so. A lot of times people don't know that. Like, it's about that, getting that cash back on there, all the rewards points. You want to take those free trips? You can do that. You want to buy stuff? Like, I tell guys, hey, you want to buy these shoes from Saks Fifth? You can get it for free. I just bought a pair of shoes from, well, I didn't buy anything. I used my points with my Amex Platinum. I just bought a pair of, Dolce & Gabbana shoes. They're like $700 and like a $500 belt, but it was all free.
Wow. Yeah. You know, I
like to tell people, I'm not one of those type of people that like, hey, don't buy this, don't buy that. No, I feel like you should be able to buy what you want to buy. Just make it smart. Just be smart about it.
Yep. Or you could be, there's Bitcoin cards now too, that'll give you cash back, but instead of cash, it's Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know how to buy Bitcoin or you're confused about how that works or whatever. So now you're getting, instead of getting US dollars back, which are deflating or which are, they, you know, with inflation, the value of the dollar is actually going down, but nobody even realizes it.
Mm-hmm.
While Bitcoin,
I'm going to throw this in there because I always tell people that, right? We always hear about, you know, the dollar is inflating and, you know, stuff like that. But I say, like, when, ever since the gold standard was taken off the dollar, it lost all its value right then, right?
Yeah, I mean, what is it worth? It's just it's a promise.
It's paper.
It's a promise. It's all it is. Yeah. It's the government says it's worth something, so it's worth something, right?
Yep, that's all it is. That's,
well, what people don't understand is debasing. So the U.S. dollar is essentially the gold standard, right? Mm-hmm. Every other currency on the face of the earth practically values itself against the U.S. dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens if the U.S. starts printing more dollars, right? Mm-hmm. There's more of them in circulation, but they're still worth a dollar, right? According to the government.
Right.
So what happens when every other country is valuing their currency against a dollar and we've got more dollars, their currency drops even more than ours, right? Because they're basing their currency on our currency. But if everyone's printing dollars in whatever currency they have, the euro or whatever, everyone's debasing, it's called debasing your currency. Every country's debasing their currency at the same time. Nobody thinks anything's happening. But really, the price of everything's going up.
Yo, it definitely is. And I know you said you like to debate a little bit. And this is, like I said, this is a conversation that I always have. When it comes to, well, how do you feel about the whole aspect of people say, oh, yeah, the money is going to start being digital after a while? How do you feel about
that? Oh, it's going to be. Yeah, I think the U.S. Actually, they're already the IMF. They actually came out and said they've been looking for 2 years at making a digital euro. And I believe the U.S. government's actually been working on that. I'm big into like Bitcoin and crypto and everything and, you know, stable coins and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I think the U.S. dollar is eventually going to be digital. The yuan is digital in China. They're testing that out in certain cities. But, you know, in one city in China has 10 million people, you know. So, yeah. Oh, it's going to be digital. I mean, I think it's it's also a way to track you.
Yeah, because you got to think, we already been using digital money since credit came out.
That's what it is.
Digital.
Yep.
Because if I go get approved, I have a 720, 740 score. Say if I'm operating off of that, I go get approved for something. What is it? It's digital. It's not real money. Their hope is that you max that card out, so then that they can be in your pockets, right? I think even when it comes down to money, you know, because I know it's a lot of different things around money and what people believe about that. But I honestly believe when it comes to money, it's all about control, because money don't have any it don't have any value to it. It's all about control, because you got to think, if people didn't need money, they wouldn't even try to make it. But everything costs, right?
Yep.
Some of the stuff that we pay for is supposed to be free.
Yeah, it actually is. Yeah, I mean, you buy bottles of water out there, you got a sink with water coming out of it, you know?
It's all about control, because if everything was free, nobody would need money. So at that point, people would be running around doing everything they want to do. The whole money concept to me is all about control. So even if stuff was to be digital, like now, with credit cards, with my card decline, I got cash in my pocket, right? So if it comes to the point where everything is fully digital, now they have more control, because if that card declines, there's nothing else you can do. There's not going to be no other way you can pay for that.
Well, and think about it, how easy it is to spend money when you just got that piece of plastic, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you actually had dollar bills in your hand,
see,
there's only so much you could spend, right? Like, and you would kind of temper your spending a little bit. But now it's like, yep, just go ahead and swipe it. Go ahead and swipe it, you know? Mm-hmm. And people get a little crazy with it. And it's so easy to spend.
Yeah, definitely. But you know what? I tell people like this. This is all my investor friends. I tell them like this. When it comes to credit, you really have... Now, I'll simplify it and not even make it complex. Most people make certain things complex when they speak about it. When it comes to credit, it's unlimited, right? There's no laws against, you know, credit repair or challenging certain things and stuff like that, right? Because us as consumers, we're considered the original creditors. So when it comes to debt, we're the only people who can actually validate that debt. No other person can validate any debt unless we do. When it comes to that, you know, if you had someone on your credit report and someone like, hey, you know, do you know about this debt? And you say, hey, this is my name. And yeah, I do know about that. At that point, you just validated the debt. As long as you don't do that, you can challenge anything that's on your credit report, from bankruptcy, student loans, anything. So at that moral of the story, what I'm saying with that is, there's no reason to be scared when you're investing with OPM, because it's nothing that can possibly happen. If the investment goes wrong, you can use credit repair, right? I feel like I tell people that, because some people be like, oh, I got to pay back $150,000. It's like, no, the rich people, you think they've been doing that? No. Why you think they bankruptcy? I mean, you don't even have to file bankruptcy. You can actually challenge this stuff.
Yeah.
Because you're the only person who can validate the debt.
Mm.
You know, it's pretty simple. When it comes to credit repair, it's as simple as this, right? If you ever try to repair your own credit yourself?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Writing letters to the bureaus. Yeah.
Tell me one thing that they always come back and say when you try to do that.
I think they need 30 days, don't they? And if the debtor doesn't get back.
Do they say it came back verified?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I get that. Yep.
And this is why they say that, right? Because we have to, if you had an old debt that was, so whatever, wherever you live right now, right? Say if you had an old debt associated with that, the first thing you have to do, because we do a 3-round burst. The first is the personal dispute letter. We want to remove all old addresses, phone numbers, whatever we can remove that's associated to that old debt, right? Because when you do that and then you file a second dispute, how can it come back verified when they have nothing to verify it with? The address is gone, that phone number is gone. There's nothing to verify it with. It's easy to verify something. A lot of times people, you send out those method of verification letters when you're supposed to send out a validation letter, right? And validation is basically, you can tell a creditor like, hey, I request that you swear under the penalty of perjury that you can validate this debt with an original signature of mine that I basically that as far as us conducting business and stuff like that, they never can validate that. So 9 times out of 10, when you send that in certain USC codes that protect actual consumers, they take the stuff right off. But it's all about steps. It might not happen the first 30 days, the first 45 days, first 90 days, but it definitely happen. That's why you have the CFPB there for you as well.
Wow. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Man, that's a game changer for some people.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, that's a matter of you getting a house and not getting a house.
Yeah. Yeah.
One little piece of something on your credit.
Yep.
Could be the difference maker.
Yep. That's why they throw everything. That's why they throw everything in your credit. As soon as you'll pay, so I'm throwing it on your credit.
Yep.
But did you know this? Did you know it's considered identity theft anytime somebody puts something on your credit without any permissible purpose, right? In order for anything to be on our credit report, we're supposed to give them permission, but you see that they don't get our permission for that. They just post it, right? So that's a violation. It's people out here that's getting paid for each violation, right? If they do that, that's a violation. If they, you know how you might see let's say TransUnion says you owe $300, Equifax say you owe $400, Experian says you owe $250. You send a factual dispute letter because it's inaccuracies there. Federal law says it has to be 100% accurate, not 95%. 80, you get what I'm saying? It has to be 100% accurate. Mm. So within that, it has to be removed. So that's why I say, as long as people know that and know these certain different strategies to use and different verbiage to say and different laws that protect you, you can get any of this stuff off. Like, it's no reason to stress out about, oh, where I'm gonna find money at for an investment. You use that money. Don't be scared to use business credit because the utilization don't report. The sky's the limit, basically. I'll just end it with that. The sky's the limit when it comes to that.
Man, Brandon, this is fascinating. So like if somebody wants to reach out to you, how do they reach out? Is there like a website? Is there, you know, on Facebook, or how's this work?
I'm not even really on Facebook no more. I'll be on Instagram most of the time. My Instagram is Pressure the CEO. I always respond back to my DMs and stuff like that. So people can reach me on there. My TikTok is Pressure the CEO as well. I've been on there for about 2 months. I built up like 25,000 followers on there.
Wow.
It's still growing. And that's pretty much all I'm on right now as far as social media sites, right? As of right now.
And if somebody wanted to work with you, they could just DM you and get started.
Yep, they can DM me, and if anybody was out there that wanted to get their credit looked at or anything like that, we offer free credit consultations. They can go to www.wechallengethebureaus.com and check out the website. They can sign up for a free credit consultation. We'll give them a free credit analysis. We'll check their actual credit, see what we can help them with, give them some free credit gems on what they can do to actually remove some of that stuff, how to build their credit. We give people a lot of free credit gems because after we clean their credit, we want people to take off with the information that we gave them.
I love it, man. It's like, let me help you clean up your credit, and I'll show you what the next step is.
Yep. Yep. If they want the number is 877-311-3911. They can call, give us a call. We can help them out with their credit, man. Cause like I said, credit is very important. And I feel like when people really understand what credit can do for them, it can not only help them change their lives, but their family's lives as well.
I love it. Say that number again.
877-311-3911.
I love it, Brandon. It's awesome, man. You're doing good work, man. And I love it. And hopefully, you know, somebody's listening to this that can reach out to you and you could change somebody else's life, man.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Now I want to say I appreciate you again. Thanks for that nice car. You guys, if you guys are looking for a car on Toro, definitely get at him. That car is awesome. It was a bunch of eyes on that car for sure. And definitely keep doing what you're doing. And I'm glad to see that, you know, came from the same community and you was able to grow into the man that you are today.
Yeah. Yeah. You too, Brandon. Congratulations, right. Sir.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Right. Thanks for joining us on this week's episode of Side Hustle City. Well, you've heard from our guests. Now let's hear from you. Join our community on Facebook, Side Hustle City. It's a group where people share ideas, share their inspirational stories, and motivate each other to be successful and turn their side hustle into their main hustle. We'll see you there, and we'll see you next week on the show. Thank you. Big, 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 big